we're going to talk about honoring your family. Honoring your family. So some of you might say, like, well, what, you know, we all, if I say, do you know what honor means? All of you guys would have some sort of inclination of what it means. But let me give you the Webster's Dictionary definition of it real quickly. It says, respect that is given to someone who is admired. And it has some other things, but basically respect that is given to someone who is admired. So, for example, let's kind of like broaden the context a little bit. What does it mean to honor? What does it look like to honor in your life, in my life? And it's kind of like, I never say in my regular vernacular, like, oh, I honor you today. Like, you probably don't walk around saying that, you know, just telling people how much you honor them. We don't really do that. We don't talk like that. Those aren't the words that we use. But we do do it. I just said do. And I tried to drag it out and make it not close, but I still said it. Sorry about that. we do that. And so how do we do that? So, for example, for most of you guys, raise your hand if I'm telling the truth. You have a poster hanging up in your room of a band, of a sports team, of somebody or something like that that you like. Okay. Keep your hand up. How many people have that same list of things, whether it be a band, an artist, or whatever, some sort of, as your iPhone background, your wallpaper, in your binder that you take to school, you know, it's in your front cover or on the side. The point is that you can put your hands down. The point is that all of us, pretty much everybody does it all the time. It's the type of thing that you kind of carry with you. You go home and you got it on your wall and you're like, oh, I love that band, that's so good. You know, and you the girls fall asleep looking at the, you know, whatever the, what is even the boy band right now? One Direction? Anybody else? I hear Bieber. I hear One Direction. Huh? He did go to jail. It's a publicity stunt. Don't worry. he's got an app coming out about selfies, and that's what he did. He ain't stupid. Anyways, like, the point is that we do this all the time, you know, and you see people, you know, even grown-ups do this. You see, maybe this is your dad, and if it is, that's okay. I'm not judging or anything, but there is people who still hang posters in their garage, right? The dads, the guys who got stuff, posters hanging in their garage, like the garage is like their man cave, and they got their posters hanging up in there. It's something that we do. It's something that we put up. It's something that we like. And when we walk by it, we're proud of it. We think it's cool. We think that person is cool. We think that thing is cool. What are we doing? We're just honoring it. We're showing that we respect it. We're showing that we think it's important. It's a form of honoring. So that's kind of what honor is. It's something that we do all the time. It's something that's around us every single day. We probably don't call it that, but that's what it is, and that's what we do. So how does that apply to us? Where are we going with this? Tonight, we're going to talk about, first of all, why do we need to honor our family? Why do we need to honor our family? And a couple of things, really quickly. First, number one, because Jesus gave us a commandment to do it, right? Open your Bibles real quickly, or moderate speedily, however you want to get there. Just get to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, it's in the New Testament. If you have my Bible, it is on page 1,992, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 2. I'll read this to you really quickly. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So, why do we need to do this? Number one, because very, very plainly and very simply, God, Jesus, told us to do this thing. He says, honor your father and mother. And the interesting thing about this first thing, the most obvious one, is that, like it says in the verse, that this is the first commandment with a promise, right? So there's other commandments. We're talking about commandments, the Ten Commandments. There's other commandments that came before this one, but they did not have a promise with it. And that's not to say that they weren't good commandments or that they're bad commandments, but this commandment in particular apparently has special meaning to God. He's like, this is really, really important. Actually, this is so important to me. If you'll do this, I have something for you. I want to give you something. So the promise is that I will give you long life. That basically, It's a life-giving promise. You could word it like that. God's like, you should really do this. I want to give you incentive, actually. I want to give you incentive. If you do this, I'm going to give you more life. He wasn't like, hey, here's the commandment. Thou shalt not murder, and if you don't, I'll give you long life. You know, you should. It's obvious. You should not murder. And if you don't, your life will probably be longer. So you can maybe put those things together. But for Jesus right here, he's saying, if you do this thing, I will give you longer life. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that this is, first of all, obviously important to God. Because it's a commandment. He said, do this, honor your father and mother. But even beyond that, beyond it just being a command, because there's other commands, he said, this is the first one with a promise. Which to me just says, hey, pay attention, look. God's saying, this is extra important. This has particular meaning to me. This is something that I want to give to you. This is something that has value to me. So number one, Jesus gave us a commandment to do it. And I want to point out something here. Something that kind of differentiates the world's definition of honor, which typically is, we typically honor people who have achieved great things, right? Like they've worked real hard. They played, you know, they're all-stars in high school. They you know, played college, and now they're in the pros, and they're super great, and they practice all the time. They work out all day long, and they are extremely good at their sport. Or they sing, and they dance, and they practice into the night, and then they're in the studio every day till 3 in the morning, and they do all these crazy hours, and they're just great, talented people. And we kind of tie these things together. Like the people who work hard, who have achieved great things, these are the people that we honor, right? Like you don't look at the guy in jail and you're like, I don't know that guy, but man, I'm going to put a picture on my wall. I honor him. He's so cool. Like, no, you don't do that. If you do, you have issues. And you should realize that. We'll talk to you afterwards. Come talk to me. That's not okay. So in the world's view, honor is very much tied to kind of achievement and the skills and the things that somebody's able to do. But in God's definition is different. He doesn't have that kind of qualifier that we put on it. Qualifier meaning like, you have to be good at it, then I honor you. With God, he says, no, he doesn't say, honor your father and mother if they are good and they do everything right and they take you to eat whatever you want all day long and you can watch whatever movies you want and you have a TV in your room with cable and an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4. It has nothing to do with that. He doesn't put any sort of qualifications on it at all. He just says, honor your father and mother. And that's a very big differentiation between the two types of honoring. Honoring how we see it in the world, how we put our posters up of the cool teams, the cool bands, the cool stuff, the artists, whatever it might be. And God's definition, which says, I don't care really what they're doing. I care that you do what I'm asking you to do, which is honor your father and mother. And we can take that farther. And we can look at this as family. To honor your family. Family is family, right? I mean, like I think Pastor Richard was talking, when he was praying, he was mentioning it. You know, that's how God talks about our relationship with him, right? We're adopted into his family. That family is important to God. It's a big deal to him. So when we're talking about honoring your father and mother, we're talking about honoring your family also. We're talking about it not being based on if they're good, if you like them, if they do fun stuff with you, if they share their toys with you. Just kidding. it's not about that sort of stuff. God's saying, hey, I want you to do this regardless. Why? Because they're for a couple reasons. Let's look at it. First, Jesus gives us an example of this. Really simple. You know this story. If you got your Bible, start turning to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. As you start flipping over there, I'll start talking a little bit. So basically, this is a story where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, right? So how many people have siblings and parents? You got family. How many people got a family? Good, everybody, right on. Woo, we're on the same page. How many people would like to go home tonight and wash your siblings and your parents' feet? Would anybody like to do that? Just making sure. That's good. You're not supposed to like to do that. But the point is that it's nasty, right? Like, I have kids. I don't even want to wash my kids' feet. They're nasty. Like, they're my kids. But the point is that it's not a fun thing. It's not something you like to do. It's not like, oh, I want to go home today. You know what? I just want to wash your feet and show you that feet are stinky. You know, they're gross. And some people have, like, sweaty feet. And that's really gross. Feet are just not, like, some people literally have a phobia of feet, like, and they just like, oh, wow, feet, I can't do feet. Feet are bad. it's typically not good news. How many people are like a foot model? Exactly. You don't know any. They take pictures of sandals without feet in them because you don't want to see people's feet. You want to see the sandal, right? That's how the advertisements are. Feet are not fun. Feet are not pretty. It's not an exciting thing. So now let's look at the Bible, John chapter 13. I need to turn there, actually. So John chapter 13. And so basically, here's Jesus talking. He's with his disciples, and he essentially is going to wash their feet. So let me read this. John chapter 13, verse number 12. Where are you, verse number 12? Okay, it says verse number 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again. So basically, we're jumping straight into it. He washed their feet. Now, before we go a little bit farther, let's just take a second and appreciate what just happened. We wear shoes and we wear socks, and you clip your toenails. I really hope you do. You should. But back then, they did not have shoes like we have shoes. They wore sandals. They did not have pavement and like pretty grass to walk along. You know, it was dirt roads. It was muddy. It was nasty. So close your eyes for a second, and let's go somewhere in our thoughts. Theater for the mind, right? Pastor Richard, finally. This wasn't even related. I'm glad I remember that, though. So this is theater for our mind. Close your eyes, and let's go somewhere. Imagine feet that are dirty and crackled up. They got cuts in them, and they're like calloused, and just they got mud all over them. They got long toenails, and there's like dirt and black stuff shoved under the toenails, and there's like just there's toe jam of all sorts. You don't even know what it's made out of, but you could probably form something out of it and it would hold. I mean, this is some nasty stuff. Come back, open your eyes. Take a deep breath, it's gonna be all right. These are some nasty feet. Like, it's not like Jesus came and like, okay, you guys, go get a pedicure first, and then I'm gonna wash your feet and it's gonna be okay. Like, no, never mind, that's probably too gross. These are nasty feet. But what did Jesus do? Jesus goes and he washes their feet. So he just washed their feet. So let's keep reading. So verse number 12, second part. It said, and he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, basically you're right. Yes, I am your teacher and Lord, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. You should do as I have done. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. So here's Jesus washing the disciples' feet. So just so we're kind of using the same metaphors. Back then, they did not necessarily have posters. They weren't like, you know, like, oh, it's the disciples. And they have like the 12 disciples like all in the pictures together, you know, like shortest to tallest in the middle, back, you know, with their backs to each other, and people framed them and put them on the walls. Like, it wasn't like that. But so this is how Jesus could show his disciples. These are like his family to him, right? These people are important to him. He was showing them, I want to honor you, right? And it wasn't based on how good they were, because there was some people in there, right, that Judas was still in there. There's people in there who were about to go betray him. It was not based on how good they were, or how much good stuff they did, or how much of the scriptures they knew. It was based purely on the value that Jesus placed on them, the value that he saw in them, not what they did, not how good they were, but what he saw in them, the value that he put on them. So we see Jesus gave us that example. Jesus said, I'm doing it, you do it. I'm giving you this example. I'm honoring, even though they don't deserve it, even though they should have washed my feet, if we're looking at who's the better one, I'm going to give you an example. Do as I do. You need to do as I do, right? So Jesus gave us an example. Let's look at another one. David. How many people remember King David, right? Killed Goliath. Anybody remember that story? Okay, good. We're talking about that guy, but we're not going to talk about Goliath. Sorry. We're going to talk about King David for a second. So King David basically really quickly gets anointed to become king. Saul was king, and basically he blew it, And God was like, all right, we need a new king. So they go and they anoint a new king. They find a new king. Samuel goes, finds a new king, anoints him. And basically, over time, eventually, David is with Saul. David is supposed to be the next king. And Saul, David becomes to get popular. He's killing people. They're like, oh, you know, Saul's cool. You know, he's killed thousands. David's killed tens of thousands. And, you know, they're basically like, Saul, you're really cool, man. They're like, David, he's awesome. Like, you're cool. You did your thing. But this guy's like he's pretty awesome. We like him better. And he was starting to become more popular. They did start making posters of him, not really, but he started to become popular. Saul started to get jealous. Saul was like, whoa, they're starting to like this guy more than me. I'm king. They're supposed to like me. They're supposed to listen to me. I'm supposed to be the big bad one, the one that everybody thinks cool. And so eventually Saul's like, goes after David. He's like, forget this guy. I'm going to kill him. Is London in here? London? No? I was going to give her a shout out. Oh, well, she missed it. basically, Saul's like I'm gonna go after David. He wants to kill him, and so basically, Saul starts an attack of going after David. He starts chasing David. David has guys with him, and David's on the run. And there's multiple times where things happen. They cross each other's paths. It's been a long time, but an interesting thing happens. First, let's evaluate the facts. David is supposed to be king. He's been anointed to be king, right? It's not like he's like trying to steal Saul's place and just decided to run his own campaign and, I'm going to be king, I'm going to take him out, and then I'm going to be king. Like, no, this isn't something that David necessarily went out to seek. This is what I want to do when I grow up. God came to him and said, hey, I want you to be king, and anointed him. Number two, facts. We're just talking about facts. Saul is instead of realizing God's plan in the situation, decides, I'm going to go after David. I don't like this guy. I don't want him to take my spot. So he's trying to kill him. So it's been a long time. It's been a while. And David, he has his men with him. They have an opportunity to kill King Saul. King Saul is in a cave. He's in the back. And based on your interpretation, you could say he was using the restroom. And it was probably not number one. But he was in a vulnerable situation. You know how it is. You're in a bathroom. You're not doing number one. You have a door locked. You still feel vulnerable. Like, this guy didn't have a door. He's in a cave, man. Like, he is not in a very comfortable situation. He's very vulnerable. And all of David's guys are like, just kill him. This guy's going after you. He has no right. He's lost his mind. He's trying to kill you. This is all backwards. Take him out. Then you'll be king. You'll have your rightful place. And David doesn't do it. David won't do it. Why wouldn't David do it? David said, no, I'm not going to do it. This is the Lord's servant. I'm not going to do it. Basically, David honored King Saul. Based on because King Saul was a good guy? Nope, not at all. Based on because King Saul was, his really close friend? Nope, they weren't friends. He was friends with the son, but not with King Saul. Based on any of these other things that we talked about? No. By all of our senses, we would have all been rooting for David. Kill him. Go get him. Cut him down. Go get what's yours. This is your time, man. Do it. And David wouldn't do it. He said, nope, not going to do it. This is God's servant. And he chose to honor King Saul. And eventually, time goes by. There's a war. Stuff happens. And basically, Saul ends up dying. And David ends up becoming king. And even when David becomes king, Saul died. David didn't kill him. Saul died. Even at this point, David could have been like, you know what? He died. I'm king now. I didn't do it. He did it to himself. He had it coming. That's what he gets. Let's go. Let's do this thing right. Let's go. I'm going to go run this kingdom, show you guys how to do it. No. King David chose to still honor him even after he died. The Bible says it's actually the first chapter of 2 Samuel, that King David basically called a corporate moment of silence for Israel. And basically they sang a song and like a hymn that he wrote for him, and they honored King Saul and Jonathan, his family. He honored his family even though he didn't deserve it, even though he already chose the higher road, and even after he was already dead, still King David said, I'm going to honor this guy. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, again, at this point, Even if we would have all been like, kill him in the cave. And then it's like, oh, he died. Now it's like, yeah, he got what he wanted. It was coming to him. It's about time. That took way too long. It was years. This whole thing transpired over years. Not like 2 weeks later and David was impatient and decided to go kill him. Like, no, this was years. Like, for us, at least for me, I can't even think, like, when somebody says, like, what are you doing next weekend? I have no idea. Like, my brain can't go that far. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, man. Like, you know, and so years, this is a big deal. This thing happened over years, but still David chose to do this. Why did he choose to do this? Because it wasn't about him choosing necessarily to honor Saul. It was because David honored God. And because David honored God, he honored Saul. Because this was how God had put it together. And David knew and he understood that it wasn't based on, at the end of the day, it really wasn't about Saul. It was about David honoring God. And David recognizing that this was a man of God, this was a man that God had put in a position, and he was going to honor him. Again, not because of who Saul was necessarily, but because of who God was. And a lot of times in our families, I don't know about you, some families are better than others in the sense of, like, you know, some of you guys, you don't have two parents that live at home with you. Some of you live in a divorced house. Some of you might not live with any parents. Some of you have, you know, you're excited to go home tonight and talk to your parents about this or that or whatever. Some of you are dreading going home tonight. You don't want to see them anymore. You know, it's, oh, man, forget it. I don't want to see them. Everybody is in different situations, and I don't know your situation, but that's okay because I don't have to, because God does. And this is what God is trying to say to us. This is what he wants you to see tonight. Honoring your family is incredibly important because it's important to God. And sure, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, whoever it is that lives with you, they might not deserve it. They actually might be like, oh man, you don't even know my brother. Like, he never leaves me alone. He's always giving me a hard time. He always makes fun of me. He always tears me down. He's always picking on me. Does he deserve for you to honor him, to place value on him, to care about him? No, maybe he doesn't do that for you. But that doesn't mean that just because he doesn't do it for you that you don't do it for him. Because Jesus gave us an example. We see the example from David. David gave us an example. You know, your parents you could have good parents, you could have bad parents. The point is, wherever you're coming from or wherever you're going to, God is calling you to honor those people in your life. Why? Not only because there's a promise connected to it of, hey, you do that, I have a promise for you. I want to give you life. I'm going to give you something that you can't get anywhere else. You can't go buy the promises that God has for us. You can't, these things that he has for us, it's not something you can go buy at the store. It's not something that you can get from a friend or order online from Amazon and have it shipped Prime and get here really quickly. It's none of those things. The things that God has for us, the promises that God has for us, can only come from him. That's what makes them so valuable. That's what makes them so important. So today, we've seen the example that God is showing us. It's simple. It's easy. God's saying, I want you to honor your family. So what we're going to do, really quickly, how do you honor your family? How do you honor your family? It's easy. Let's look at the examples really quickly. How did Jesus do it? Jesus did it. He washed the disciples' feet. He did it with his actions. He did something about it. He said, sit down. I'm gonna come, kneel down, and I'm going to wash your feet. He showed them with his actions, right? We can see in David's example, David, you know, he did like a moment of silence. He did this hymn thing for Saul. He did it not only with his actions, but he did it with his words also. So it's something that just as a, I think, man, I don't even know that it's a cultural thing. Just as young people, we are so about ourselves that we don't think about other people. We don't think about honoring somebody else. How many people, when is the last time, just answer this to yourself, that you told somebody in your family, thank you. Thanks for helping. You know, thank you for doing this. Just think about that. Think. Just see if you can even remember the last time where you appreciated and honored somebody in your family. Right? Like, it's probably, if you can't think of one, it was probably one. And you're like, yeah, I thought of one. Yeah, That's good. I'm glad you did. But a lot of us probably can't even think of any. You're like, I'm not really sure. So tonight, what I want to do, the ushers are going to give you a piece of paper. They're going to give you a little piece of paper. So, band, you can come up. I was going to say when you get a chance, but go ahead and make that chance right now. the band's going to come up. The ushers are going to hand out a sheet of paper to you. And basically, this little piece of paper, it just says, it looks like this. And it says, I want to tell you. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take just a few minutes, and you're going to think, and you're going to say, God, who do you want me to honor? Who do you want me to honor in my family tonight? And I want you to just take a minute, think of somebody in your family that you can write something nice about them. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be three paragraphs. It might just be say thank you. Thanks, Mom. Thank you. It might be to your brother or to your sister. But whoever it is, as you get it, think about it for a second. Don't just jot something down. Think about it for a second. God, who do I need to do this? Who can I do this to? Because we all know that if you went home tonight and somebody gave this to you and said, hey, I just want to say thank you for loving me, for being, I know we don't always get along, but thank you. Thanks for looking out for me. Thanks for helping me. You would like that, I promise. You would be like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. thank you. It has value. It has meaning. So as you get it, think about it. Pray about it for a second. Who can you honor in your family tonight? You got it filled out. Just fold it in half and show it to me so that I know you got it done. So once you do it, fold it in half. Just raise it up a little bit so I can see that you got it done. I'll give you guys one more minute. go ahead and if you're not done, keep it with you. Finish it afterwards. I want you to finish it. I want you to take it home. This series, this has been a big series about family. And it's really important that we, like the Bible says, don't be hearers only, but doers also. Basically, don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. You heard it. We've seen it in the Bible. Do it. So today, this was an exercise to help us to do it. Because sometimes we just need a little help to do it. But you can take, if you want extra sheets of these, there's probably extras. Pick up a couple extras if you want. You don't have to do it to just one person. Pick up some extras. Give it to some other people in your family. It's okay. That's a good thing. This week, think about it. Help God to speak to you so that you can see people that you can honor in your family. Because it's important to God. It shows how much value that God has for them. And when we can see that value also, it will change the way we see people. So what I'm going to do at last part, we're going to wrap up right now. I want to talk to you guys for just a second. Give everybody an opportunity to know Jesus Christ, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So what I'm going to do is really quickly, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to answer that question in your heart. Keep it to yourself, and then we're going to talk about your answer. Here's the question. If you were to walk out of this place tonight, if you were to leave tonight, and God forbid something happened and you died, your heart stopped and you died, you got in a car accident and you died, something happened. If you died tonight, when you opened your eyes, would you open your eyes in heaven or would you open your eyes in hell? That's the question. If you died tonight, would you open your eyes in heaven or would you open them in hell? Let's evaluate your answer really quickly. Maybe you say, well, I hope I'd make it. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I haven't done a lot of bad things. I think I would make it. I hope I'd make it. The problem is that nowhere in the Bible, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it say if you hope enough or if you think enough or you think you're good or you haven't done bad stuff that you're going to make it to heaven. It's not in there. You're not going to make it. You think, I'm pretty sure I think I would because, you know, I know who God is. You know, obviously I'm here tonight. I know who God is. I'm familiar with him. Yeah, everybody, especially in America, is familiar with God and knows who God is, but that's not enough. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you know who God is or you're familiar with who he is that you'll make it to heaven. You're not going to make it. The Bible says demons know who God is, right? Knowing him is not enough. Maybe you say, my family's a Christian. If somebody says, like, what religion are you? I always say Christian. My Facebook profile says Christian under religion. Like, that's cool. I'm glad you did that and you got that out there. But because you call yourself a Christian, because your Facebook profile says you're a Christian, that does not mean that you are saved and that you're going to make it to heaven. It's not in the Bible. That's not how you do it. You're not going to make it. We have to do it God's way. We have to do it God's way. It's his heaven. We have to do it his way. So what is God's way? Let's look at this example real fast. Jesus comes, he talks to this guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a really good guy. In our modern day, he's like a PhD, has a master's in a divinity and like doctrine and all kinds of stuff. He preaches the word of God. He sings the scriptures. He feeds the homeless. He helps the poor. He does everything that is good and right that Christians should and ought to do. He does all of them. And he says, Jesus, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus didn't say, Nicodemus, dude, you're awesome, bro. Just keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. You're going to make it because you're doing all of the right things. No, Jesus didn't say that at all. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. Born again, what does that mean? That sounds weird. Born again is simple. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, it means the same thing. Just that you've given God all of your heart and you've given God all of your life. It's an all or nothing thing. All of your heart, all of your life. Let me prove it to you. In Revelation chapter 3, is Jesus talking. He says, when I come back, I better find you hot or I better find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, you're not going to make it. I will vomit you. I will eject you from heaven. You're not going to make it. You have to be hot or cold, all or nothing. If you're lukewarm, you're not going to make it. What's lukewarm? Lukewarm means basically, very simply, that you're not against God, but you're just not wholeheartedly for God. You're not sold out for God. you know, you say you're a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, but your life and your actions, they don't really follow that up. They don't really back it up. They do on the weekend when you're at church, but when you go back to school and you go back to this, or you go back to that, you're somebody else. You're lukewarm. You're not going to make it. We got to do it God's way. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Hit my hand on the pulpit just like that. And when I do, if that's you, if you've never given Jesus Christ all your heart and all your life, I'm speaking to you. If you've done it, but you aren't, your life isn't following it up tonight, let's get right. I'm speaking to you. If you're just not sure, you're like, I think, but I'm not really sure. You're not gonna make it. Let's make sure tonight. The Bible also says in that same verse, if you confess me, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. All or nothing. So here we go. Count of three. If that's you, raise your hand. One, two, three. Go ahead and get your hand up. Anybody in this place tonight? So really quickly, let me say this. This is called an invitation. I'm not trying to strong arm you, convince you, force you. That's not how God works. He doesn't do things like that. You got to make the choice to want to do this. The Bible says that nobody comes but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking right now. So if that's you, you feel it. You can feel the Holy Spirit kind of tugging on you. You feel uncomfortable. You're not sure. So if you're not sure and you feel the Holy Spirit talking to you, don't miss it tonight. Get your hand up. And if not, we will pray for you afterwards. Sorry. I thought I saw a hand, but I don't think it was a hand. I think somebody itched their head. But this is what we're going to do then. How about everybody stand up? Stand up. Put smiles on your faces. Look excited. Like you're in church and it's a good thing and you're happy to be here and everything like that. And this is what I'm going to do. Again, if you want more papers, I'm sure there's more that they can pick up in the back. This week, honor your family. Honor your parents. Honor your brothers and sisters and your aunts and your cousins and everybody else that lives with you. Honor them this week. It's what God would have us to do. So go ahead and put your hands in the air. I'm going to pray for you guys and then we'll dismiss. God, we come before you, and we thank you, God, for just being here with us. We thank you that you are here, that you spoke to us, that we heard it. God, I thank you that we take it in, God, that your word went into good ground, Father God, that it will produce fruit in our lives, God, and that we will not be hearers only, but doers also. God, I pray that you bless each and every person in this room tonight, that they would be blessed from the top of their feet to the bottom of their souls, the top of their feet, my goodness. If you're doing a handstand right now, thank you for making that valid. But for everybody else, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, wherever they go, Father God, that you just bless them, that they would know that you are there with them. And we all say with a great big shout that the Inland Empire shall be saved.